the motto of our nation, inscribed for all to see. It's the secret of our greatness, the source of our liberty. In God we trust is written, it's the truth we should all hold dear. It's the faith that built this nation, the spirit that brought us here. In God we trust,
in God we trust,
let this our motto be. Our God has blessed this land, let's sing it from sea to shining sea. His arm is strong,
his arm is strong,
his cause is true and just. Look upward, America, in God we trust. For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee,
on thee, and crown
thy good with brotherhood. From sea to shining sea, America, every coin and every dollar, as it's passed from hand to hand, repeats this solemn message. By the grace of God we stand. In these times of war and trouble, let all people, both great and small, lift their eyes and look to heaven, and trust in the God of all. In God we trust,
in God we trust,
let this our motto be. Our God has blessed this land, let's sing it from sea to shining sea. His arm is strong,
his arm is strong,
his cause is true and just. Look upward, America, in God we trust. Let this our motto be. Our God has blessed this land, let's sing it from sea to shining sea. His arm is strong, his cause is true and just. Look upward, America, in God we trust. From sea to shining sea, in God we trust.
Well, thank you, men. I appreciate that. And what a great, great blessing. Let us take the Word of God this morning and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And let me say, as we turn in our Bibles there, that there are 18.2 million living veterans in our country today. There's a great host of people that we should say thank you to. Often when I see someone that's in the military or even a police officer, I tell them, thank you for your service. They need to hear it. I think I said earlier that we should recognize our veterans, because I think all of us understand that unspoken gratitude is ingratitude. We've got to speak it. We've got to show it. And I am thankful for a church that loves veterans and a church that loves our country. I still believe America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I still believe that. I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful to have grown up in America. I love our flag. I love our country. I love what God has done here. Yes, America needs help and healing. But I still believe that God is doing a great work in and through America. In fact, as we think about our military, the Bible tells us that God has designed a specific role for military. It is all throughout the Bible. In fact, we know that military have been designed to be forces that fight for our liberty. Aren't you thankful for the liberty that you have this morning? Then we should be grateful to the veterans because they purchased that liberty. In fact, our liberty, we no doubt, was purchased by the blood of the American patriot. But our military forces fulfill a God-ordained role. Folks, let me tell you something, that God has ordained the military that we have today. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4 that they are referred to as the ministers of God. Now, you might call me a minister as the pastor of this church. And yes, that is true. But these military, our veterans today, are agents and ministers of God because they fight for our liberty. They deal with tyranny. And may God help us to honor them and to be a blessing to them. In fact, I don't know of one veteran who enlisted for the praise of anybody. I don't know of one. In fact, many veterans today carry physical and often emotional scars from their service to our country. And I believe that something as simple as a thank you does a lot for them to encourage them and to let them know that their labor is not in vain. In fact, those that fought on foreign land and those that even fought here in America, we say thank you today. Those that kept their bags packed and ready to go, thank you this morning. And earlier in the service, I remember that I called out for different branches. I asked if you were in the Army or the Air Force or the Navy or the Marines or the Coast Guard. I could not raise my hand on any of those. But this morning, I want to ask a different question. And the question that I want to ask you is this. Not just are you a servant in the sense of our military, but this morning, are you a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ? You see, there's a great difference there. Do you know that any of us this morning, you may not be able to classify yourself as a veteran, but all of us today, we should be soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now that implies that first and foremost, we must know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I think all of the veterans understand here today that it was the American patriot who gave his life, who shed his blood for the freedom that you and I have today. But I want you to know that there was one years ago, his name was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave his life. He shed his blood for our spiritual liberty. Now, brethren, it is one thing to have liberty in our country, and I'm grateful for that liberty. But it is possible to have physical liberty and never experience spiritual liberty. Christ purchased our liberty that we have in him and the freedom that we have to know the God of heavens and to be able to spend eternity with him forever. So the question that I have for you this morning, not are you just a part of our military service, but are you a soldier of the cross? I remember that there is a great hymn. I don't know that we sing this hymn much anymore, but Isaac Watts, back in 1709, Just as a 35-year-old man, as he was knowing the scriptures and walking with the Lord, he was already writing many hymns. He wrote this hymn that's titled, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Some of the words read, Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Am I a soldier of the cross? Have you been enlisted? Are you a Christian? Well, this morning I want to ask you a question. Are you a part of his army? Are you a part of the warfare that we have here on earth? Are you a soldier of the cross? Now we come to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want you to understand that when we come to the Bible, especially in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament, we find stories and we find great metaphors of military. In fact, if you read the Old Testament, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a lot of battles. You're going to find mighty men. You're going to find men who fought. In fact, David was a great warrior. David had his mighty men of valor. And all through the Bible, you find men fighting and laboring and warring. But when you come to the New Testament, you will find, especially in the book of 2 Timothy, as the Apostle Paul is writing to his son in the faith. Do you know what Paul uses often as he's writing much of the New Testament of the Bible? He uses military metaphors. Why? Because during Paul's day, the Roman soldier was a professional soldier. In fact, the Roman soldier was the most well-trained and most disciplined of any soldiers up to that time. They were everywhere. In fact, during the days even of the Lord Jesus, wherever you went, you found the Roman soldier. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, when Paul talks about that we are to put on the armor of God, do you know what he was referring to? A Roman soldier. His sword, his spear, and his shield, and the armor upon his chest, and the breastplate of righteousness. Paul uses this analogy. But when we come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, as we begin in verse number 1, he talks about being a soldier. Let's read it together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let us begin in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, in fact, all throughout the Bible, we find metaphors of the military. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but in verse number 25, Paul talks about a man by the name of Epaphroditus as his fellow soldier. In fact, in Philemon, in verse number 2, Paul referred to another man by the name of Archippus as his fellow soldier. And as I told you earlier, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are encouraged to put on the whole armor of God. Now, brethren, today, I want you to understand something, that we will always need the military. We will always need someone, because our freedom is never free. It comes with a price. Someone is always trying to take away our freedom in America and throughout the world. There will always be tyrants and always be dictators that do not want people to be free. So that's why we will always have military. They will always be around, and we need their service, their sacrifice, their courage, and their dedication to being a soldier. But can I encourage you with this today? Every single one of us here this morning, We are either enlisted in the Lord's army or we are not enlisted. In fact, as we think this morning, are you a soldier of the cross? I want to begin, number one, with the enlistment of the soldier. Now, how many here, veterans, remember the day that you enlisted in your branch of service? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Amen. Thank you. I'm sure that every veteran here remembers the sacred oath that you took that day, and that you vowed to be a patriot, and that you vowed to defend our Constitution. You had an oath that you gave. You enlisted into the service of the military. And I know for you that was a very sacred moment and a very sacred time. In fact, as we think about the enlistment, Paul knew something about the Roman soldier. History tells us that when a Roman soldier would enlist into the army, the Roman government would take a hot branding iron and they would brand that soldier to where everyone would know that this is a man who is serving in the military. In fact, the Roman soldier was very proud of that branding that he took. Well, Paul used that same analogy when Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Do you know the very word marks there was referencing that branding iron that the Roman government would use on the military soldier? And Paul said, I understand that the military, they have scars. They have wounds. They have, no doubt, a dedication. They are a soldier at heart, and they will always be a soldier. But Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. In fact, if you study the life of Paul, you will know that Paul was beaten for Jesus. Paul suffered shipwreck. Paul suffered many things. He was stoned. And all the things that Paul encountered, he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to hear me out today. If you're truly going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to bear the marks of our Savior. You know something? It would be foolish for any military person to think, well, I'm going to go into service and I'm going to expect never to have any pain, never to be hurt. No, they go in it knowing that the enlistment to be a soldier is knowing that they will bear in their body the marks of the military. This morning, have you enlisted into the Lord's army? What a great privilege and an honor to be around the veterans today, knowing that they enlisted, they freely enlisted and gave of themselves to be a soldier. But I want you to know something. I have never been a military soldier, but I am a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ today. You say, well, preacher, where did you enlist? Well, when I was 17 years of age, growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew it. I mean, nobody had to tell me. My sisters told me often, you know, and they knew it. But you know something? I knew that I was a sinner and I could not save myself. Well, I'm so thankful that my mom and dad took me to church. And at church, I understand the truth that God in heaven loved me. In fact, you know this verse. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know something? I know that the military represented here today. Why did they go into service? Well, I believe a part of it was their love for our country, the love for our freedom. But folks, can I tell you something? God has given us the greatest opportunity for freedom because He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ willingly gave of Himself. Folks, you see, God loves you today. He loves you and He wants you to experience that freedom. But there's something else we must understand before we can ever enlist into God's army. We must know that we are sinners. Now, I'm thankful to be the pastor of this church, but I pastor sinful people and you listen to a sinful pastor. You see, we are born into this world with a sin nature that is depraved. And if you don't know that, just watch little children, all right? You know something, children, you don't have to teach them to sin. You don't have to teach them to lie and cheat and steal and be mean. No, it's a part of their nature. What do we have to teach them? Right from wrong. We have to teach them to love. We have to teach them to care. We have to teach them to be truthful and to be honest. And we that's what we have to teach them, because it is a part of their depraved nature. And the Bible says that we are born into this world lost and separated from God because we have a sin nature. We are born into this world as sinners, and that means there is nothing that I can do, physically speaking, to save myself or to wash my sins away. No, I'm a sinner. The third thing that we must understand before we can ever enlist is that Jesus Christ paid for our sin debt. Now, we are thankful for, as we celebrate Memorial Day, that day is set aside to thank those who gave their lives on the battlefield for our freedom. But brethren, can I help you to remember something today? It is because of the American soldier and the American patriot that we have freedom in our country, but it is because of Jesus Christ going to the cross and bleeding and dying on the cross and taking the sin debt of the world that you and I can ever have freedom to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. We must understand that. In fact, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There have been countless stories of soldiers that have given their lives to save the lives of their friends, of their own buddies, of their own soldiers, their own comrades that work with them and labor with them. They have given themselves for their friends. That is the ultimate sacrifice. But I want you to know something. There is someone who has given his life for you. And Jesus Christ bore the sin debt of the world, and he died on the cross for you. You see, when did you enlist, Pastor? Well, I enlisted on that Sunday morning when I was 17, when I recognized that God loved me. I knew that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I could not save myself. And the preacher told me that Jesus died for me, and I could put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that morning when I left my seat and came to an old-fashioned altar like we have here today. And I got on my knees and I confessed to God that I was a sinner and that I could not save myself. And I did what the Bible said. I called upon the name of the Lord. In fact, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that day when I called and I said, "Jesus, save me," that moment He enlisted me in not just into the service of the Lord, but into the very family of God. Now, I want you to know something today. You may have enlisted into the military service, and we thank you today. But if you have never willingly put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you, and that He loves you, and that He's made a way for you to spend all of eternity with Him, then you're not a part of the family of God. I plead with you and beg of you today, enlist today, willingly accept the free gift that God has given to you. Oh, it's a gift that He has purchased for every man, woman, boy, and girl today. We see the enlistment of the soldier. But number two, we see the entanglement of the soldier. By the way, as we go back for just a moment to think about the enlistment of a soldier, do you know that it's a choice for you to enlist? In fact, God is not going to make you trust Him. He's not going to make you become a part of the family of God. He's never going to force any man. We choose of our own will. But as we talk about the entanglement, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and notice what it says in verse number 3. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And verse 4 says, "No man that warreth," or is a part of the military, "entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." Aren't you thankful that God has chosen each and every one of us this morning? You know, some people wrongly believe that God has chosen some people to spend eternity with Him in heaven and some people not to go to heaven with Him. But folks, I can't clearly tell you, based on the authority of the Bible today, that God has chosen each and every one of us to be a part of His family, but we have to choose Him. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever be born or ever had been born. Folks, He has chosen you, but you have to choose Him today. But as we talk about the entanglement of the soldier, the Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Now, the word entangleth means to weave. It's a very unique word that we find in the Bible. It refers to the act of getting so involved in something that one becomes restricted and controlled, no longer to do what he needs to do. Now, you understand, and by the way, if we were to study history, we find that the Roman government issued decrees about their soldiers. There were certain things they could and could not do. There were certain places they could and could not go. In fact, we understand the military even today, they are going to be deployed often. They have to do those deployments. They have to be removed from the comforts of their home and even from their family and even from the comforts of what God has given us in America. They cannot entangle themselves because they have to be free to do what God has given them to do. But folks, today, if you're a part of the Lord's army, you're a soldier of the cross because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we must not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Now, what does that mean? Paul's instruction here is that we should not get so involved in other things that we miss what God has given us to do. Folks, do you know something? Some people, they're just too busy to live for the Lord. Well, folks, if you're too busy to go to church or too busy to pray or too busy to read the Word of God or too busy to do what God has given you to do, then I'm sorry, you're just too busy. You are taking on things that are entangling you and they are hindering you from being what God wants you to be. Now, let's put it this way. You know something? When we take an athlete, in fact, later on in the passage of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he not only talks about a soldier, he talks about an athlete, but he talks about a farmer. Because it's a great metaphor of the Christian life. But let's think about the athlete. Do you know the athlete, if he is going to be at his best or she is going to be at her best, they cannot be going to certain places to eat often, all right? Can I tell you something? If you're an athlete, McDonald's is probably out of the question, you know? I'll never forget when I was in high school and played sports and basketball and soccer and track. Those were kind of my sports. I can remember specifically training for track, cross country. And I remember my coach told us certain things we could and could not eat. And you know what? To a teenager, that was like major sacrifice, you know? I mean, it was like, you don't need to eat this, and no soda, and no soda, are you kidding me? That runs through my body, you know, as a teenager. And there were certain things. Why? Because I was training for something different. I was training for a goal, and I understand that military, there's certain things that they cannot do. There's certain places they cannot go. Why? Because they have to be committed. They have to be devoted to what God has given them. Now, Paul is not speaking about things that are necessarily that are wrong in and of themselves. It's not that a soldier is not to have any contact with his family or former friends or surroundings. But the ideal is he cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Years ago, when my wife and I worked with young people, I found it to be often true that if a young person came to know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, the devil did his best to, he couldn't take the salvation from them because that was settled in Jesus Christ, but he would do everything to entangle that young person so they could not fully devote their life to follow Jesus Christ. Now, there's lots of entanglements out there. It might be things that we are looking at with our eyes. Things that are hindering us from having victory in Jesus Christ. It might be friendships that we encounter, friends that are taking us down the wrong path, friends that are hindering our walk with God. And let me tell you something. If you're going to be a true soldier of Jesus Christ, there are some things that you must separate from so that you can give yourself fully to doing what God has given you to do. You see, folks, what is a true soldier of Jesus Christ? It is a person that is wholly committed to following Jesus in every area of their life, in every form of entertainment, in every form of pleasure, in the books they read, and the things they listen to, and the things that they watch, the friendships that they have, the places that they go. I am a soldier, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. By the way, what is the motivation? Look what the Bible goes on to say. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Look what the motivation is. "That he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." Now the word "please" there is a very precious word. In fact, it's the same word that the book of Hebrews uses that Enoch pleased God. He walked with God and pleased God. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you please God with your life? Do your friends please God? Does your form of conversation, does it please God? Can I tell you, a real soldier, can I tell you what they will do? They will please their commanding officer. And the word "please" there means to agree with them. By the way, I think most of the veterans here today, you probably remember boot camp. How many remembers boot camp? Would you lift your hand and hold it high? I have no idea what boot camp was like, but I can only imagine. You know something, a part of boot camp, from what I understand, is that is bringing the soldiers, a part of it, in submission to their commanding officer. You're going to do what we say. You're going to do it when we say it and how we say it. And if we don't like it, you're going to do it again. You understand? They had to submit themselves. But a soldier that would not submit himself or herself to his or her commanding officer, they were not pleasing that commanding officer. And by the way, when they were not pleasing them, their life was not going to be very pleasurable, I'm sure. You see, there is an emphasis here that as a soldier, I enlisted in God's army at 17 when I knew that He had chosen me to be a part of the family of God, and I chose Him to be my Heavenly Father. Can I tell you something? I want to please Him who had chosen me to be a soldier. Is that your motivation today? In fact, do you know that a part of our fallen nature is that we want to please people? Do you know that's a part of our nature? In fact, it's a part of our depraved nature. We are tempted to be men pleasers. By the way, I don't think anybody here wants people to dislike them. We want people to like us. But the problem with this, sometimes we are more concerned about what our fellow workers, our friends, our neighbors think about us, and are they pleased in us, rather than is God pleased in us. You know, the greatest motivation for life is, God, are you pleased with my life? Are you pleased? Listen, you can get someone, you can find someone to be pleased with the way that you're living. But what ultimately matters is that we are pleasing Him who had chosen us to be a soldier. We see the enlistment of the soldier. We see the entanglement of the soldier. And number three, the last thing, we see the endurance of the soldier. And notice what the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now the word "endure hardness" means being a soldier is going to be hard. In fact, the very word means to undergo hardship. It means to be afflicted. It means to suffer evil, to endure afflictions, to suffer trouble. Do you know that every veteran here today, I'm sure that you can remember times when it was hard to be a soldier. It was hard to be away from family. It was hard to endure the long marches, and it was hard to be under enemy attack. It was hard to have fear in your life, not knowing where you're going to get back home. There is hardness associated with it. Listen, there's no real comforts in the military. the food they eat, the lack of sleep that they don't get, and all the many things about their life. It is hard, but the soldier knows, I'm in the army, I'm in military service, and I can expect this. In fact, to much the same way that a soldier had to patiently endure the hardships of the battlefield, folks, Christians must understand that it is not a playground that we've enlisted into. It is a warfare. In fact, the Bible says that thou mightest war a good warfare. I've known Christians before they come to know Christ as their Savior and they begin to serve the Lord, but then it gets kind of tough. Their friends don't like them as much now. And this new life that they are living, it's hard. And some of them say, that's not for me. I don't want to be in the Lord's army any longer. Well, they're still part of the family of God, but now they've just gone AWOL. They're missing. They're not where they need to be, doing what God has given them to do. In fact, Paul is exhorting Timothy here. Do you know that the book of Timothy is written to a young pastor? And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you're in the Lord's army and it's going to be hard. You're in a warfare. And brethren, can I tell you something today? If you're a child of God this morning, we are in a war. Now, it may not be a physical war that you can see, but it is a war. And we are dealing with the enemies of God. We are a part of the army of God. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In fact, we must understand that the Roman soldier was the toughest soldier of his day. He was the most disciplined, the most efficient soldier in the world. And a good soldier does not quit. A good soldier does not turn his or her back. A good soldier knows that there is a hardship. Now, this morning, we are so grateful for the veterans that are here today. And I have a hard time not getting emotional on a day like this because I know that the freedom that I have is because of these veterans. Thank you this morning. But veterans, you're here today because we wanted to honor you. We wanted to say thank you. But can I encourage you today, all of the veterans and all of those that are seated here this morning, if you are not a part of God's army, then I want to encourage you to enlist this morning. He's already chosen you. In fact, do you know the Bible says that God chose us before the foundation of the world? Before the world was ever created, God knew you would be born, and God chose for you to be born, but God chose for you to be a part of the family of God. In fact, you know the book of Revelation talks about that there is a book of life. In fact, it talks about the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, do you know that I believe the Bible teaches that when anyone is born, they are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if they reject Jesus Christ, they do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says they are blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Brethren, can I encourage you with something? God loved you enough. He went ahead and wrote you in His book. That's how much He loves you. He's planning on you being a part of His family. But you have to choose Jesus. Every soldier in here, you chose to enlist. You chose the sacrifice, the devotion. You chose that life. It was a hard life. It was a great amount of discipline and labor and courage. But today, would you choose Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you something. You can be a great soldier here on earth, but you can die in your sins and spend eternity in a place called hell. God does not want you to live in a place called hell when you die, but every one of us, when we die, we are either going to a place called heaven or we are going to a place called hell. Every one of us have an inevitable meeting with the Holy God. And can I ask you something today? Have you trusted His Son, Jesus Christ? Because He is the only way of salvation. In fact, John chapter 14 said it best when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Enlist today, accept Jesus Christ. But can I ask you another question? Are you entangled today? I meet people all the time. They're entangled with things of life, and it hinders them from being the husband, the father they need to be, from being the wife, the mother they should be, and even from being the Christian that they should be. You see, things hold us back and things entangle us. Lay aside those entanglements and follow Jesus Christ. But then the third thing is the endurance of the soldier. You know, I am sure that soldiers represented here today, you endured the boot camp and you endured your tours of duty. You endured the deployment. You endured the loneliness. You endured the sacrifice. You endured that because you're a soldier. And today, if you're a part of God's family, oh, may God help us to just be faithful because He is faithful to us. Today, are you a soldier in the Lord's army? Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I'm so grateful that you've come here today. But I want to ask you a question. How many would say this morning, "Preacher, I am a part of the family of God. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if I died today that I'd go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. I know that, Pastor, because I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And I can remember when I called out to Him in prayer." How many would say, "That's me, Preacher. I know that." Would you lift your hands to testimony today? "That's me, Pastor. I know that." Thank you. May put your hands down. Maybe this morning you could not raise your hand. And I make you a promise today that I will not embarrass you or come to you. And I'm not going in any way to do that. But I want to ask you this morning, how many would say, "Preacher, would you pray for me today? Because I do not know where I'd go if I died this morning. Pray for me, Pastor. I'll not embarrass you. No one is looking. But would you lift your hand so I can pray for you this morning? Pastor, pray for me because I do not know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you." I appreciate your honesty this morning. But I want you to know, you don't have to leave here unsure of where you would spend eternity. You can leave here knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you can spend eternity with Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. And I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come. We have people ready with the Bible. They'll sit with you on the front row and they'll show you. If you're a man, we'll have another man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. If you're a lady, we'll have another lady take the Bible. And they want you to know the truth. Oh, in just a moment, leave your seat and come. But how many would be honest today and you say, "Preacher, I'm a part of the Lord's army. But there's some things in my life that have entangled me from being all that God wants me to be. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor." Amen. I see your hands and I appreciate your honesty. But God knows. I don't know what that entanglement is, but the Lord knows. And you know, the truth of the matter is, if you'll take a step of faith and believe God, He'll help you and strengthen you, and He'll give you victory in your life. And then how many would say, "Preacher, I've become a little weary in the Lord's army. Pastor, would you pray for me that I will endure, that I'll be faithful and finish the course that God has for me?" Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? "That's me, Preacher. Pray for me this morning." Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to have a word of prayer. And after I finish praying, we're going to sing together. But if God has dealt with you and you need to be saved, come and just sit right on the front row and we're ready and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But if you have entanglements, come and find a place at this altar, we call it, a place to pray and to make a decision with the Lord and to seek His face. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank You for these dear people here today. Lord, these veterans, they are the heroes. And Lord, I'm standing in the presence of heroes today. Thank You for them. But Lord, today, I pray that we would be obedient to You. Lord, You are the captain of our salvation, as the Bible says. You are our commanding officer. And I pray that we will do what You want us to do today. Lord, if there are people here that need to be saved, I pray they will obey You and they will turn to You in faith. If there's people here that need to confess and forsake some entanglement, that they will do that this morning. God, would You work in our hearts? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and let's go to hymn number 826. I have decided to follow Jesus. What a great hymn. Would you make the decision? Enlist today. God's spoken to you. Come and let us help you this morning. If you just want to pray on your own, come. Hymn number 826. To thank all of you for being here this morning, and I want to do something that we have done before in our church. It takes a little bit of time, but today is a special day, Armed Forces Day, that I would like for us to do this in honor of the veterans here today. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to bring the veterans back up. Aren't you thankful I'm keep bringing you back up and making you sit down and all that? But I'd like to bring them back up here, and we'll have to get a long line to go all the way across. And if you have time and you are physically able, I would like to ask our church just to come through. Now, don't take time and tell a bunch of war stories, all right, okay? You need to just go through. Thank you, thank you. And make it quick because we have a lot of people to get through. But instead of usually my wife and I stand in the back and people come through and shake our hands, today is really a day for the veterans. And today is a day to honor them. So let's go ahead and get the veterans to come up here if they're able to. Let's have some coming up veteran music. Can we do that? All right. Whatever that may be. All right. And veterans, come on up. Brother Stevens, would you help me here? And let's get them lined up all down through here. In just a moment, we're going to start on one side. So veterans, come on down. And you all get lined up down here, please. All right. Today, I'm going to be your commanding officer. All right. For just a moment. Okay. Come on down, veterans. Thank you. Good. Good. And we may have to kind of extend it here. All right. Very good. Come on through. That's great. Good. All right. Very good. Now, if you get to the place where you need to sit down, that's perfectly fine, the veterans here. But the way we're going to dismiss in just a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Stevenson. He's going to close this in a word of prayer. And then let's do all things decently and in order, the best we can. So we will start over there. And when you dismiss and just come through and start over there and then work your way through, please just shake their hand. Thank you and move on because we'll be here to lunch and I'm kind of hungry right now. All right. So we want to thank them, but let's do it in a timely manner. But come through and shake their hand and then you'll be dismissed. All right. So Brother Stevenson, would you come and close this word of prayer? I do want to say this. A couple birthdays today. Happy birthday to Janet Koffenberger. Today's her birthday. And then Elijah Stevenson is 2 today. All right. And so happy birthday to him today. So Brother Stevenson, come and close this in word of prayer. My wife and I are going to sneak ahead of you here. All right. And we're going to get started here. But we pray you'll come and thank these veterans, Brother Stevenson.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've done even this morning. We thank you for these veterans and what they've sacrificed. And we thank you for our country, our military. And Lord, I pray that you would protect them. Lord, as we look at our lives and we are a soldier of Christ, I pray, Lord, that we would give our lives to whatever you have, that we would follow your will. And Lord, that we would be proud to be an American, but also proud to be a Christian. I pray, Lord, that you would use this message throughout the week. Lord, be with us, give us safety. And again, thank you for these veterans. In Jesus' name, amen.